And if you would remain standing with me, we'll read scripture together. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and following. And we'll throw it up on the screen so that you can see what's being read. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak." Let's pray. Father and Lord God, it's great for us to be together, and it's good for us to open up your word together. Father, I pray that you'd speak through your word to each one of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. On one particular morning, there was a little boy who was being very exasperating, and he stops at some time, and he says, "Mom, maybe I should just pray." And the mom quickly responded is "Yes, if you pray, then God will help you to be good." And he says, "Oh, Mom, I was going to pray for that. I was going to pray that God would help you to put up with me." Prayer, it's one of those activities that I think sometimes we wonder how effective it really is. And I don't know about you, sometimes maybe you felt like not really knowing how to pray, or whether prayer's effective, or just wondering how does God even know, exactly what I'm saying, because my prayers sometimes are confused. But here's the thing about prayer is that God can make sense out of even confused prayers. And we're called to pray. In fact, one individual by the name of E.M. Bounds, and I read this book a number of years ago as I was pretty young into pastoral ministry, and he writes a book about prayer, and he says what the church needs more is not more programs or more activity or more things to do. The church doesn't need more of all of these things. What the church really needs is more men and women who are committed to prayer. Queen Mary, during her reign, said that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than an army of 10,000 men. Prayer. Prayer is vital. And this morning I'm going to talk about prayer in the context of this series that we're in called I Am a Church Member. And even the whole idea of church membership has fallen somewhat out of disfavor, or at least out of understanding, in that a lot of people think that church membership is almost like club membership, and it's not. Because when we commit to being a part of a local church, we're committing to be a part of all of the activity when it comes to being discipled by and being discipled with other people in a local church. And really, a commitment to church membership is a commitment to being loved by and to loving a particular group of people. When a person puts their faith in Christ, they become a member of the Church of Christ throughout the entire world. And that membership gets represented in a local church family. And then what does it look like to be a member in that local church? And so we've been providing a book this summer called I Am a Church Member, and there's more copies of it out there in the foyer area on one of the tables if you want to grab a copy of it. Because we're interested in saying is what does it look like to be a part of a local church family, and what does it look like to do that well? And we're four chapters into that book. The chapter that we would have been on this week is I'll pray for my church leaders. And that feels a little selfish to have a chapter in there about, praying for me. And yet, I covet your prayers. I absolutely covet your prayers. Not necessarily because my job is any more difficult than your jobs are, or not necessarily just because I need prayer more than you do. I don't know that that's particularly the case, but I do think that it's really important to pray for church leaders, and not just those that are vocational church leaders, meaning is that I get the privilege of being paid to do this full time. I love that. I love being a pastor. In fact, I think that I'd be terrible at most other things that I could do. My brothers are all great contractors. I've been siding my house. I'm reminded of why I don't want to do it full time. It's wonderful and hot. And yesterday, as I was cutting and cutting and recutting because I didn't cut the first time, I thought, I'm glad that there's other people that do this. So, but I love doing what I do. I love being a pastor. I love meeting with people. I love trying to encourage others. I love praying for you and for our community and for the advancement of the gospel. I love those things. I also covet your prayers. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to pray for those that are in spiritual leadership. And I just listed five different ways that you can pray for those that are in spiritual leadership. And that's not just those that are vocational leaders, but it can also mean those that are volunteer leaders in the church. It's interesting in the New Testament is that when it calls individuals pastors in the New Testament, sometimes it refers to those individuals that did it full time. And sometimes it refers to those who volunteered their time and they were equal. Is paid pastors or vocational pastors in the New Testament weren't any different than volunteer pastors, is they just got to do it all the time. And so elders in the New Testament, when you see that term elder, sometimes it meant someone that did it full time. Sometimes it meant someone that volunteered. The Apostle Paul, of course, was a tent maker. And so he provided his own way to do the ministry that he did, but it appears that they did raise up also those that were in full-time ministry and provided for their needs, otherwise provided something similar to a salary, and that's also biblical, and it's in Scripture. And so, how to pray for spiritual leaders. Pray that our eyes will be fixed on Jesus. Pray that we will never step away from God's leading. That's vital, is you cannot believe how many vocational Christian workers, whether they're pastors or missionaries, that are stepping away from God's leading, or they're just stepping away from ministry because of how discouraging that it can sometimes be. Pray that we will be quick to never rely on our own strength. Pray for the character of those that are in leadership, for there are many, many temptations. And pastors and missionaries are not immune to those temptations. And then pray that we will know when and how to prioritize prayer. Now I want to talk about this from Scripture. And so pray that our eyes will stay fixed on Jesus. In 2 Chronicles 20:12, there's an interesting passage about King Jehoshaphat. And he faced three combined enemies that were coming at him all at the same time. And he was absolutely overwhelmed. He did not know what to do. Except the one thing that he could do, and that's to keep his eyes on God. And so he said, "For we are powerless against such a great horde that is coming against us." We're absolutely powerless. We do not know what to do. See, in this kind of situation, strategy doesn't matter. But the one thing that he could do is what he says, "But our eyes are on you, God. Our eyes are on you." Interestingly, is these prayers are prayers that can be prayed for any believer. I'm applying them to those in spiritual leadership. And so pray that our eyes will stay fixed on God, regardless of what comes up, regardless of the challenges that come up. I love what he says is, the challenges are too great. There's no way that we can stand against what's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but that's okay because our eyes are fixed on you. The second part of that is pray that we will never step away from God's leading. You know, in Exodus chapter 33, we find out that the people of Israel had turned really against God and they'd built an idol. They'd built this idol and they'd bowed down to this idol, and afterwards, God brings judgment against the people of Israel. And Moses goes alone to meet with God. And he's praying and he's fearful that God will leave them. And so Moses prays this prayer in the midst of Israel having stepped away, but he prayed as his God, I don't want to go anywhere unless you go with me. He says to God, if your presence does not go with me, then don't bring us up from here. Otherwise, I don't want to leave. If you're not going to walk with me, then I'm not going to walk. Because the only way that I'm moving forward is as if you will move forward with me and with us. He didn't want to start a journey unless God himself were in the lead. Now pray that we will never step away from God's leading. Third, pray that we will be quick to never rely on our own strength. In Proverbs 28:26 says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Trusting in ourselves is one of the most dangerous things that we can do. You know, there's Proverbs 3:5-6 also. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And 2 Chronicles 14, we're told about King Asa. And Asa called on the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, there is no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. You see, Asa faced a similar situation to what Jehoshaphat had faced. We're told that under the reign of Asa that Israel prospered. In fact, they were able to rebuild the cities. They took down all of the high places, all of the false places of worship, and they began to rebuild Israel. And in the process of rebuilding Israel, there was incredible success, unbelievable success, and they were able to rebuild their cities and rebuild the infrastructure of Israel. As incredible things happened. They rebuilt the military forces, and in the midst of it, other neighbors began to notice what was going on, and they decided to invade Israel before it got too strong. And they were rebuilding when this army formed. And so Asa is calling out on the Lord and saying, Lord, there's no one besides you to help in the battle between the powerful and those that have no strength. Even with the strength that had come to Israel, he said, by comparison, we have no strength. So help us, O Lord our God, for we trust in you and in your name have come against this multitude. Lord, we're coming against them, but we're coming against them in your name. O Lord, your God, let man not prevail against you. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. It said that the Ethiopians, if you look at that passage in Scripture, it said that they were 1 million strong. And they came against small, little Israel. And Israel, or maybe I should say, is God fought the battle. And the army was routed. And so be careful about relying on your own strength. But please pray for those that are in spiritual leadership that they will not rely on their own strength. Pray for the character of those that are in spiritual leadership. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we get the marks of those that are in spiritual leadership. It's hard to even read these passages if you are in spiritual leadership because you begin to realize all of the ways that you fall short, all of the ways that you can potentially be disqualified from leadership. And there are many. You see, being in spiritual leadership comes with much responsibility. And one of the number one responsibilities is to live in such a way as it doesn't discredit the gospel. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2-5. And it's interesting because in chapter 3 it says, but understand this, in the last day there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self and lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpleasant, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure. And it goes on to talk about all of the things that'll happen in the last days. Do you know that Christians throughout history have always felt like that they've been living in the last days? Because these things have been present to some extent or another throughout history. And yet we can look at these things and say, can we see these things? And we'd say absolutely yes. As we see these things. We see these things on a regular basis. And so in 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 5, it says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseers, and I think I have my reference wrong there, but this is the right reference, or it's the right scripture with the wrong reference. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, otherwise to be in spiritual leadership, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. I'm glad that I have at least one of those. I only have one wife. So, able to teach. And then it goes on to say, not a drunkard. I've kind of got that one pretty well too. Not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? You know, when I read passages like that about the qualifications for those that are in spiritual leadership, one is it does move me towards prayer, because I realize the great responsibility that one in spiritual leadership has to seek to live a godly life, and not just as an individual to live a godly life, but to be able to pass that on within the family structure. And it's difficult, because not only are these temptations that we find in the world today faced by those in spiritual leadership, but we see it in our families, we see it in our churches, we see it all the way around. And yet there's some help here, because it says that those in spiritual leadership, that they need to be peace-loving, not quarrelsome. They need to be gentle. Pursuing what is good and what is right. Now, do we who are in spiritual leadership, do we fail at these sometimes? And the answer is yes. In general, are those that are in spiritual leadership seeing these things manifested in their lives? And that's the real question. I encourage you to pray for the character of those that are in spiritual leadership. And you can remember that we make mistakes, that we are susceptible to failure also. And so we won't always do it perfectly. But pray that we will live lives in the pursuit of holiness and godliness and goodness. Okay. The last one here is pray that we will know when and how to prioritize prayer. You know, the truth is that busyness can crowd out a devotional life. It's so easy to get busy and to do good things, particularly in ministry, to stay very active with good things and forget that one of the best things that we can do is pray. One of the best things that we can do is pray. And we know this because that's what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 5, we have this picture of Jesus. In Luke 5, 15 and 16, we're told that the popularity of Jesus had grown to such significant levels. It says that the reports about Jesus went abroad. Isn't that interesting that they had spread, that they weren't localized, that they had begun to travel? Great crowds gathered to hear Jesus and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Pray that we would know when and how to prioritize prayer. Really, to a great extent, one of the most important things that we can do is pull away and pray. That's really hard for me to do, because some of the guys make fun of me because they see me with my cell phone all the time. And I've had people jokingly say, "Do you ever put that thing down?" You know, sometimes it is hard to not answer the phone, to not be available, to not be around. What's even more important, though, is that if I'm not available, to be not available for really good reasons, like I'm spending some time with my family, or like I'm spending some time seeking the Lord in prayer. And so these are a number of ways that you can pray for those that are in spiritual leadership. The amazing thing is they really apply to anyone. I also want to encourage you that when it comes to prayer for the body of Christ, I'd also encourage you to pray for more good leaders. Pray for more good leaders. There's a whole generation of godly men and women who are passing away right now, who have answered the call of God, who have served faithfully in churches and in missions organizations. And I can list a number of godly people that have served God faithfully over years and years that have passed away here in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And there are others that are in the last stages of their ministries. And we're still waiting to see how many younger individuals are going to rise up to answer the call of God. And so we should pray for more good, godly leaders. That's a prayer that isn't just for church leaders or missionaries. We need good, godly leaders. We desperately need good, godly leaders in the area of government and politics, in education, in business. We need good, godly leaders. Please pray that God would raise up leaders. In Luke, it says that Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Is pray that the Lord would send out workers into his harvest. It's interesting because in that same passage, the very next statement is to the disciples, and he says, "I'm sending you out among wolves." Pray for more leaders. "By the way, I'm sending you out among wolves." As being in leadership does have consequences. It does mean that sometimes you're going to be at the front of the battle and that you're going to take hits. Pray that the Lord would raise up good leaders across all areas of life, because we do. We need good leaders in government. We need great leaders just right in the family home. Men, God is calling you to be a great leader right in your own home. And I can say the same thing to women, but I say it to men because in so many ways there's such a vacuum of leadership in the home these days. And you think about the number of families that are growing up without the biological father present in that family, and it does have consequences. Men, we need good leaders. And when you see an individual who is growing up in a home that doesn't have that male leadership, step in and be a spiritual father. Be a spiritual leader. So pray for more good leaders. The last thing that I want to encourage you to pray for is to pray for revived churches. Pray for revived churches. You know, at various times in church history, and particularly in Western church history, there's been times where the church has suffered greatly. You know, it's happened a number of times where there's been a decline in the effectiveness of the church in carrying the gospel to its culture. And during those times, there's been a couple of times in American history where there has been a great awakening. We've had at least two great awakenings that historians can actually track and they can actually speak about and they can say is that, you know, there was something interesting that happened right here, and it's trackable and you can see it across the entire, and for us it would be the United States, but the Great Awakening. In the 1850s, there was a crisis in the body of Christ and in the country. The glow of the previous spiritual awakening had dimmed, and church membership across the nation had dipped to an all-time low. Christian historians have often said that the cause of this was actually American prosperity, is what they think, as they think that American prosperity had led to spiritual poverty. Because as people grew in the amount of goods that they had, they had less need for God. So they had a lot, but they didn't feel like that there was a need for God. In the 1850s, though, there was an economic crash, a significant economic crash. And that crash swept away a huge amount of wealth. So the nation was not only dealing with the level of spiritual poverty, but all of a sudden, for a number of people, there was also physical poverty. In the midst of that, one church, this tiny Dutch Reformed church in New York, decided that it needed to address what was happening. And they asked a layperson if that particular layperson would address it, just kind of figure out a way, is, hey, how do we respond to what's going on in our community, but what's just going on right now? How do we address the spiritual poverty that's going on? And so they raised up this businessman to try to revive the church in the community. You've probably never heard his name. His name is Jeremiah Lamphere. And he was so burdened by these needs that he saw around him that he thought that the only way that he could address the needs was is just by inviting people to prayer. And so he drew up a brochure with the following announcement. And at the top of the brochure, it said, "How often shall I pray?" And then here's what it said: "As often as the language of prayer is in my heart. As often as I see my need of help, as often as I feel the power of temptation, as often as I am made sensible of any spiritual decline or feel the aggression of a worldly spirit." In prayer, this is what the brochure continues to say, in prayer, we leave the business of time for that of eternity, and intercourse with men for intercourse with God. A day prayer meeting is to be held every Wednesday from 12 to 1 o'clock in the consistory building at the rear of the North Dutch Church, corner of Fulton and William Streets, entrance from Fulton and Ann Streets. This meeting is intended to give merchants, mechanics, clerks, strangers, businessmen, generally an opportunity to stop and to call upon God in the midst of the perplexities incident to their respective avocations. It will continue for 1 hour, but it is also designed for those who may find it inconvenient to remain more than 5 or 10 minutes, as well as those who can spare the whole hour. I love this. I think that that's just cool. And when the time came for the prayer meeting, Jeremiah was there at a little bit before 12. And no one else came. And he waited. And no one came. And he waited. And 12:30 rolled around. And no one was there. And within a minute, one person came. And within the next 3 or 4 minutes, there was a total of 6 of them all together. And they prayed. On the following Wednesday, there were 40 people together praying. By October, they had to make it a daily meeting instead of just a Wednesday meeting. And within 6 months, prayer had spread throughout the city, and there were over 10,000 men praying at lunch every day. And in the following year, over 1 million people came to Christ because someone invited others to prayer. I have a statement that I'm going to ask that you remember, because I think that it applies to where we're at today. And it's applied to where people have been at throughout Christian history. Here's the statement. Desperate needs can be provided for by divine means. I messed up that sentence. Can you tell I was typing fast? Desperate needs can only be provided for by divine means. You think about the desperate needs that there are today. You think about all of the things that are going on in our culture today, in the church today, in the home today. And you know, each one of us can probably name a desperate need that's going on in our family, among our friends, in our community, or in our church. Desperate needs can only be provided for by divine means. Do we really believe that? You know, I look at the state of the church today, and I have to take comfort in the words of Jesus, because he said is that I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you ever feel overwhelmed, if you feel attacked, if you wonder, you know, what's going to happen, remember that being a part of the body of Christ is one of the greatest memberships that one can have. And I'm not talking about local church membership now. As being a part of the body of Christ is the greatest membership that one can ever be involved in. Because while the church has taken a lot of hits throughout history and will continue to do so, that he's still at work and he's building his church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we can be prevailing people, and we can prevail in prayer. Prayer is not the last thing you do. Prayer should be the first thing you do. And even when you feel or you wonder whether or not prayer works, you can know that you have a God who loves to hear the voices of his children, and that he does answer prayer. And that God loves it when his people pray, whether it's in a closet alone, so to speak, closet, quiet place, or whether it's in a group. He loves to hear his people pray. And he moves as we pray. Would you stand with me, and we'll close in prayer? I'm going to invite Larry to come up. Larry's going to close us in prayer. And, you know, we've said this every week, but we have an elder team that's committed to praying for you. And Larry's one of our elders, and they do. And whenever we gather together, we talk about how we can be praying for the body of Christ. Larry's going to go ahead and close us in prayer.
What a privilege to be an elder and to be able to lift the needs of our pastor and of the congregation. You know, just an awesome privilege. And one of the things also that as elders that we desire, and as a church we desire, is that if anybody, you know, if you have a need and you want to share it with the elders so that we can present it to the Lord with you in total confidence, you know, I'll be up here after the service and other elders as well. So please, there's just something about sharing your need, you know, with somebody else. And what a sermon. How many of us prayed for our pastor today? How many of us prayed for this church service that God would move? Who prayed for our nation this week today? I mean, the prayer needs are many. And I believe that, you know, Brian said he didn't know that as pastors that they were any more attacked than the rest of us. I believe that the target on their back is much bigger. And I see the things that I struggle with, and I think, wow, if Satan could take down our pastors, what a thing he would have, you know. So please pray for our pastors and for one another. We all have needs. If you don't have enough needs, you can ask me. I can give you some of mine. So anyway, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, what an awesome privilege it is to come before you, to lift up our pastors, to lift up one another, to lift up our nation. Lord God, we just ask that that you would be with us, that you would give us the wisdom, that you would give us the ability, that you would help us, Lord, to have the desire to come before you daily and to lift up the needs of one another and the needs of our family and friends. Lord, be with us this week. Keep this message heavy on our hearts, not only for this week, but for eternity. Help us, Lord, to be a prayerful people, for truly, Lord, for this church to survive, for each of us to grow as Christians, we need to spend time talking to you. Just bless this time, bless this day. Go with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.